This morning I'm going to share a message, and it's going to share, I want to encourage you to be encouraged this morning. I think I could start off with this message. I was holding my little granddaughter Addie, and she's a cuddler. She likes to just like lay in on your bosom, in your chest, or on your lap, wherever, and she's looking at this thing. She looks at it, and she goes, "What is that, Papa?" It's all messed up, by the way, probably because she was playing with it. "What is that?" I said, "It's a microphone." And she says, "Oh, can I use it?" I said, "Well, it's for preaching." She goes, "Oh, can I help you?" Like, it's like, "Well, yeah, what would you like to say?" Because when I preach, I tell people about God. And she says, "Yeah, I would say God loves you and I love you." Like, oh, that's perfect. Doesn't get much better than that. That's what I said. I was like, that's all. I was like, just, can you just know that? That's good enough. I mean, out of the mouths of babes, there it is. Last week, I shared a message, and I kind of hinted at this thing that God's doing in my spirit, and my mindset, and my whole heart and soul, is this focus or this attention towards God. The immeasurable blessings of God, the unseen, immeasurable, indescribable blessings of God that God bestows and is looking to bestow on us, His children. And as I looked into that, as I was like, man, I just couldn't get it out of my system. So, and that's, I got to tell you, that's how the Lord works in me. And maybe you ought to be identify with that and pay attention to that. If there's something that you just can't get out of your system about God, and maybe it's something that God wants you to share. Maybe it's something that God wants you to look into more so, because He wants to teach you, grow you, learn you in something that that's He's put there. He's put that in there. I think He puts things in your heart and in your soul, and they creep up to your brain, and they start becoming thoughts that you have. I really believe that's how God works in speaking to us. God's immeasurable blessings for us. As I really dwelt on this idea and thought, and the scriptures kept coming to mind. So I'm going to share just some pieces of scripture, try to put them in the right context with everything in me, and see where the Lord takes us. Romans 8:32, "Since He, God, who did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us all else and everything we need?" And that the whole idea behind that is this, is I believe it. I believe it to be 100% true. And I'm asking us to fall in line with it, basically say yes and amen to this truth that is 100% true, that God is looking to lavish on us, to pour into us, to give us, to bless us, to infuse within us, on us, Himself. His unseen, immeasurable, indescribable attributes, so much so, that He's looking to pour that into us. And this is just, what a deep concept. He's looking to pour into us so much so that others see Him in us. Wow. Amen. I mean, isn't that just I know I've talked about leaving a mark, but that's what we're called to be and do, right? You know, this is a digression for just a moment, but the body of Christ, the church, the living body of Christ, who is the head, we represent Christ to a lost and dying and decaying world. That ought to be our only objective. So much happens on, whether it's media, media has got a kind of vague term now, it's whether it's social media or the news media, where it seems like we get so caught up in pointing out how wrong things are. You know, there's these guys that are out there, and I ran across one of them via social media, a professional ranter. I didn't know that was a thing. It is a thing, though. And some of you guys probably know what I'm talking about. They refer to themselves as professional ranters, where all they do is point out how wrong everything is. And one of the things they like to rant about as Christians is the organized church, the religion, the man-made organized religion, and how screwed up we are, and we've done it so wrong, and we're judgmental and harsh and critical and hypocritical and blah 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 and divisive. And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, I just wanted to listen for the sake of listening so that I could know what this is about. And I thought, wow, this is the most divisive tool that a person can do and say. And all the people were like, yeah, 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 the church sucks, man. The church is blah, blah, blah. It's like, and I'm like, and all these people are claiming to be and calling themselves believers in Jesus and followers of God. And the church is crappy, full of crappy people. And I do God by myself and on my own just fine. And I'm thinking of this stuff and I'm thinking, what is God thinking of this? And then of course in this professional ranting, it's like, and if you disagree with me, you're the reason why it's like that. So it's like, oh, okay, there you go. I basically can't say anything. If I disagree with that at all, then I'm the reason. And as I'm sharing this, I'm thinking, wait, am I doing the same thing that he's doing as doing about this? And I thought, wow, okay, Lord, how do we be Jesus to people that need Jesus? Do we point out how wrong they are for not believing in Jesus, for not seeing Jesus? Do we point out how wrong we all are? Is that really our objective? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? You know, granted, there is wrong in the world. There is wrong in the church. We can point all that out, or we can really strive to be like Christ in all things and in all areas. And I believe this is to be the case. What I believe what God is wanting to do, not just in our fellowship, but I believe it in church as a whole, is wanting to just pour himself into his people. I mean, I really believe that the Bible tells us, and I think it's so true, is that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro, and he's looking to see who he can pour into himself. He could pour himself into those who have the courage and have the heart to hold that which is of him. That which is of him. Grace and mercy and truth and love and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. He's looking to just instill and pour into, so much so that I believe that the wording is a fill, to fill. And I think that when we come to the understanding of what he's talking about and filling up on God, is the only way to know that your cup is full is by this one evidence. The evidence to know that your cup is full is that it's overflowing. Because if it goes just to the very, very top, it's not full yet. I mean, it's not full yet. So it's got to be, the how you know it's full is by the outpouring. Hello? That's awesome. So that's what he's looking to do, so much so to fill us with all of his goodness, that it's outpouring. It's pouring out of us. It's pouring out of us. Where peace pours out of us. How many of you, I don't think there's anybody in here that wouldn't like more faith in your life. Hello? I don't think there's anybody in here that wouldn't like more joy in your life. Hello? Okay, come on, you guys can agree with me because I know all of us are there. And how about more peace? Would you like more peace in your life? Yeah, hello. More of the love of God, absolutely. How about more grace? And I know we could say, well, how do we get more grace? So we're going to talk about these things, and those five things I do believe And here's what I want us to know, and I believe this to I keep saying that for some reason. I must really believe a lot of things I'm saying, because I keep saying I believe it. I do believe that if I, and I want you to hear this correctly, emphasis on if I were the enemy of God, I would do everything in my capabilities to keep his beloved from knowing what's available to them. Do you guys hear me? I would take truth and I would twist it just enough to where the version of the truth would become a perversion. I would distort truths to where instead of me looking at you as loved by God, I would look at you as judged by God. I would keep you ignorant, keep you focused on things that are not of God, keep you distracted by things that are going to derail you and keep you going down a wrong trail. I would continuously tempt you to sell out, to compromise in areas of your life where you know you need to stand true and stand strong and stand firm. I would instill fear. I would be so much about keeping you as God's beloved from knowing and understanding and really believing all that's available to you as God's beloved. Think about that. That's what I would do. And I'm not really all that smart. And I haven't been around since creation. And the enemy of God and the enemy of your soul has. He's pretty good at it. So we do have a challenge. And I think I don't think we're going to fix it all right here and now today, but let's go that direction. Right? Right? Let's go the direction that we're supposed to go. Hello? That's not a bad idea. Right?
Right?
Right. Amen. If you like more faith, let's talk about it. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to go into this because this is an interesting passage of Scripture. 1 Luke 17:5 says this, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith." So I believe that is a noble aspiration to say, Lord, increase our faith. We want more of it. Hello? Anybody on board with that? I want more of faith. I think so, because as more faith, as our faith grows, our assurance of who we really are and our calling in our lives becomes more clear. And how does our faith grow? Faith grows by the Word of God. The Word of God grows our faith. That's why it's so imperative to stay involved in studies and groups. And you know, I know reading your Bible on your own that's everyone ought to be doing that. Hello? I mean, we shouldn't ought to be Sunday crackers. You guys know what I mean by that. I've said that before, and I'll explain it real quick. Is if you only open your Bible on Sunday morning, you're just simply a Sunday cracker. In other words, you crack it open on Sunday morning, whatever. Okay, that was good. And I know me. If I only eat one day a week, one moment a week, I'm weak, and I'm grumpy, and I'm irritable, and I'm fleshly. Wake up on the wrong side of the bed, which side of the bed I wake up on. Okay, let's go on. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to just start in the whole passage of Scripture because I think it's fantastic to get through, and I'm going to digress over it for a minute or two. I got these five aspects. Faith, joy, peace, grace, and love. So let's start with faith. I'm in the New King James Version. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is in presence am lowly among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with you, that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the thoughts, against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You hear that? That is a valid weapon against what the enemy is always attempting to do, is to raise up lofty things in your mind, so much so that they become an idol. And they distract, they derail, and they actually become an attack zone for the enemy. Lofty areas, and it could be anything. From sports to money to relationships to your own pleasures, your own physical needs. You raise up something lofty and high as though this is something I need and I must have, then you have raised up something that has become an easy target for the enemy. Hello? Hello. Amen. Okay, let's go on. It says, verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? Here's where he's going. This is the direction that he's wanting to take us. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not boast ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will be indeed when we are present. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves amongst themselves are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other man's labors, but having hope that is in that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishments. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. What he's saying in that whole passage there, I need to just try to explain a little bit, is that as we strive for our faith to be increased, we focus, we set our mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth, that so much so that we don't look at all of the issues of mankind to where we're looking to compare and judge and ridicule and demean and rant about. Instead, we look as though God has called us. We look to God for God's direction and calling and purpose in our lives, to where as I am going forward, God is calling me, this physical body of mine, this brain of mine, to do what God wants me to do for Him. Hello? So my faith being increased is going to take this body of mine and this brain of mine and this will of mine to say yes and amen and go that direction and give all glory to God and God alone. Hello? And so I know that that was a little bit of a confusing. If you read it in other translations, it's going to word it a little bit, explain it a little bit better. I encourage you to read it. And I like how he lays it out, the whole thing, because it's the aspiration and the desire for my faith to be increased for this one reason. And I'm going to tell you this one reason, and it's a neat reason, and I think it's super exciting. It's not so that you can be looked at as a person of great faith. You will if you do it. If you have faith, you will be seen as one who has faith. But it's for the purpose of enlarging God's kingdom. It's basically in line with the prayer, "Thy kingdom come." If it's about me, then it's not about faith. If it's about me looking good, as Paul said, you know, we're going to do what God calls us to do, and it's going to make us look good. But our boast is not in us looking good. Our boast is in what God is doing through us. Hello? Right. Whew. That was me preaching for a second. So, amen. And I really believe we when we get about that, we become less focused on ourselves and what if faith is just to get me more of something. It's not a faith. It is a faith, but it's not a faith in God, because faith in God always brings glory to God. And it's about His purposes to enlarge His kingdom, to bring people in. You know, yesterday I was able to share, and I only had about 8 minutes to share the gospel with hundreds of people who I know have never heard the gospel. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, and Linda could testify, and Billy and Terry that were there, that I believe that the Holy Spirit used words in that small fraction of time as I was officiating a memorial service to, and yes, everybody else that shared about the great person that this person was, which, man, she was a saint. Whew, she was a saint of saints. They always are. And that's true, but to be able to share the gospel to me was the greatest opportunity and privilege that I could have ever had, is to share the gospel. I'm going to tell you, I love doing, how do I say it in the right way? I'll just say it how I believe it in my spirit, is I love the opportunity and relish the privilege of being able to officiate a memorial service. I don't like the fact that I have to do them. In fact, I don't want to do them. I don't think I should have to do them. I don't think it's part of this system, but it is a part of the dying system that we live in. But to take the opportunity when everybody there has got a mindset and got a frame of mind about eternity, the fragility of life here, and this was a 30-year-old young woman who just died suddenly, and we don't know why. To the awesome real reality that this is temporary and it's just a shell. The real person is the person that is no longer in that shell, but now has a soul that's in eternity. When people are thinking that way, and they didn't come to go to church, they came to give respect to a person that they knew and loved, or to be there for the family, and to be able to share the gospel, I think is one of the greatest opportunities as a pastor. It's one of the hardest things to do, but it's one of the greatest things to do, if that makes any sense, and I know a few of you know exactly what I'm referring to. So let's move on, because I think this is fantastic as we talk about these. You guys with me? I got somber for a minute. That wasn't intended to be somber. That was intended to be like glorious, that God has called us to enlarge His kingdom. Hello? Amen. How about some joy? How about some joy? Yeah, how about it? Let's talk about it for a minute. John 15:11, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And this is in John 15:11. And of course, this is right after Jesus is talking about, "I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you are branches. And he who abides in me and I in him will have life and have fullness of life." And he said, "And these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." I love how Jesus words that, because there's no other possible way to be full of joy but to have the joy of Jesus in you. I mean, I need us to really receive that as a true reality, is that true, authentic, genuine joy, the joy of the Lord, comes from and only comes from having the fullness of Jesus in us. And it's the fullness of Christ in us that brings us to this place of a fullness, to where there's an overflowing of God's joy in us and through us. Hello? I love this. And then he goes on, and this is just a really in the same conversation, John chapter 16. He says this, 16:24, he goes on and he makes it kind of way too simple for us. I like that Jesus makes a few things simple. Actually, I think he makes a lot of things very simple. They may be deep, but they're simple. 16:24, it says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name, but ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Just simply, if we just ask in Jesus' name, that our joy may be full. What a simple concept. Just ask. You know, it's said that misery loves company, right? We know that, we say that, we actually see it sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, joy full of glory is contagious. Misery may love company, but joy full of glory is contagious. Hello? In other words, when it's flowing through you to where it's flowing out of you, people see it. There's evidence. They can say, they may not know what it is, but they want it. They want something that is giving you a smile on your face, a hop in your step, maybe. Words that are encouraging, because there's joy coming out of them. A strength within your bones that gives you stability. A joy in us is contagious. Man, we need more of that, don't we? And I'm here just as much as all of you. I'm saying, I want more joy in my life. What is it that keeps me from it? You guys want to talk about it for just a second? How about just a second? What keeps you and I from the fullness of joy? Probably right off the bat, the very thing that Jesus told us to do, we don't do. Just ask. Hey, Jesus, would you give me some joy right now? I'm pretty low. I'm feeling the grunt of life right now, and it's heavy. Can you give me some joy in this day, in this moment? Jesus, will you, in your name, fill me with your Spirit and give me joy in this circumstance? Just ask. Just ask. So maybe the asking is part of the biggest solution to it, is because I've got to come to the realization that I need it. Right? Unless you really like to be grumpy, you know, if you really like to be grumpy, then don't ask. Stay grumpy. But I will say this, and I think it's just to ask yourself then, do grumpy Christians make Jesus look attractive? Yeah. Not that much, so, huh? I got to tell you, believers in Christ that are full of joy make Jesus look good. Make Jesus look good. Yeah. I mean, if the goal is to bring glory to Jesus and to share Jesus to where people want to see, we want people to see Jesus in us, then maybe we just simply need to just ask for joy, right? So much so that I think that it's, and you don't need to, you know, have a t-shirt on or a billboard or wear crosses or a hat that says, you know, oh man, but I got to tell you, now guys, you guys know about that guy that's over there on Galleria Boulevard, and I love that guy because he holds the sign, but the sign isn't really what I'm reading. It's the smile on his face, the joy in his step. And I'm like, whoa, man, I want that. I don't want to hold a sign like him. I think that's his thing and not mine. And that's one place I could actually say that. But man, I want that joy that he has with the love of Jesus, wanting just to share it. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know, we don't have to hold a sign or wear a shirt, but the joy is the thing that people are really seeing. You know, if the guy's standing out there holding a sign telling them that Jesus loves them and he's got a scowl on his face, then you better know it or you're going to hell. Yeah. And somebody honks at him and he gives him, you know, like that's not very good. That's not a good witness. Hello? Oh, gosh, that was. We'll move on to the next attribute. How about that? I think it's a good one. It's peace. How about you? Anybody want more peace in your life? Amen to that too. And it's a peace that Jesus spoke of it like this, John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." In different translations, I love the way they word it. My peace I give as a gift to you. My peace I'm looking to bestow on you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you as a gift. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. For let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I think that's just so appropriate to what an understanding that the something that God is, only God is capable of giving his immeasurable peace to the inside of your very soul and your very heart and mind, that as he gives that to you, it's not as the world gives it to you. In other words, it's not, I think there's different aspects to that. In other words, it's not, you know, he's not going to make everything okay. He's going to give you something on the inside that can't be seen by others, other than there's something happening on the inside of you that you're holding steady. And it's also a peace that isn't measurable. In other words, you can't weigh it, you can't calculate it, you can't come to a place of saying it's this much, or you can't buy it. It's only that thing that he gives to you by his Spirit. He gives you a peace within his Spirit when we ask and we go to him. In fact, he tells us how to get it in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Says this, this is how Paul interpreted it. Says, don't worry about anything. This is a New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Do you realize that? He's telling us this. He's getting us right on the mindset. It says, if you don't want peace in your life, go ahead and worry about it. If you really don't want peace, worry. Because worry really works, right? Worrying works every time. It does. No, everything I worry about never really happens. So it must work, right? I'm being facetious, guys. Come on. Flow with me. Thanks for laughing. Or at least like calling me, telling me to shut up. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And that pray about everything is to present to God all of your issues, all of your problems. Just lay it at His feet. Give it to Him. Tell God what you're in need of. And thank Him for all that He's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace then does this. It will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Come on, we want that, don't we? I don't know about you, but I do know about you because I know this is to be the case with all of us. I personally, am incapable on my own of guarding my own heart and mind. When I come to that realization, I come to the other realization that I need Jesus and I need His Spirit to do it in me and through me. You guys with me? And I believe it to be 100% true. And if you think that you can do it on your own by figuring it out, maybe working hard enough, doing everything right enough, to keep everything in your life orderly and secure. That's exactly where the enemy wants you. Thinking you could do it on your own. And keeping you from the peace that God wants to pour into you. Amen? Amen. How about God's grace? You want more grace? Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Again, the New Living Translation. And this is kind of neat. I like this, how he says this. I'm sorry for using words like believe and neat and stuff, but I to me they're neat. I don't know, it's just neat. It says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in God's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? How he says it in another translation is, wherever sin abounds, grace abounds more and more. In other words, as you cannot out-sin God's grace. We need to just really come to that conclusion. In a right and correct and not a perverted way. This isn't giving us a license and this isn't promoting to go sin more so we can get more God's grace, right? We guys know that. Hello? You guys hear what I just said? Because Paul went lengthy on that. He said, this isn't to induce sin in us so that we can get more God's grace. This is for us to understand and realize that the love of God poured into through His Son Jesus covers all sin. What Jesus did on the cross covers my sin, here, now, and forevermore. And there's nothing that I could do to out-sin His grace. That's a reality that when I receive that, when I truly receive that, listen, it brings me to this truth. I am no longer living in condemnation. I'm a child of God, a son of God, a holy priest that's called to live by God's grace. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go on the last couple of points here. It's really good, which it's actually the last one. It says it's Romans 8, 38 and 39, which is the love of God. And I love this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. I believe I got it right this time. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, the truth of what he's saying there is 100% true, but there's also a lot of implications that he's giving us. And that is that this is there's the reason that there is nothing that can be thrown at us or thrown around us or piled up under us or over us is that can separate us from the love of God is because God's love is everywhere. God's love is for us. God's love is on us. God's love is that which is you cannot get away from it. Hello? It's immeasurable, it's indescribable, and it's really awesome in that we can't get away from it. Hello? And so much so that he's saying you can't even separate yourself from it. You can even try, you can make an attempt, but you can't get away from God's love. That's awesome, and that's really good news. That's really good news for wherever I'm at in my life. Amen? I mean, so much so that I think, man, you know, David said, it said, I could go anywhere. Wherever I go, there you are. Even if I make an attempt to go to the pit of hell, there you are. To the height of heights, there you are. Do we really know that? That the love of God cannot be removed from us. Do we really know that? I mean, I'm dealing with this in myself because I guess I'm seeing things through this lens, and it's even applying what I see my little granddaughters go through growing up with two loving parents. And even as I saw my kids grow up with two loving parents, and there's something in a child's that their mind and their heart that even with loving parents that are loving on them, they still long for some sort of attention or love or something that it's like there's a real enemy that's lying, deceiving, and duping our kids. So much so that he is doing it to us that even the most perfect of circumstances or the most vile of circumstances, the most heinous of circumstances, we're going to struggle with knowing that we're loved. Knowing that we're loved by God. It's going to be a regular thing in our lives. So when we come to this conclusion, when we really get to the place of saying, My prayer is that God's Spirit would just instill within us the know in our knower that we're loved by God. I'm almost at a point where I believe almost every issue in life stems from that issue alone. Is knowing that we're loved by God. Nothing can separate you. That's a truth, a real reality. Amen. let me finish up with a couple of things that I think are just pretty awesome that the Lord gave me. Again, it's the exchange. What a deal. What a deal. God is willing and able. Listen to this. God is willing and only God is able to give you and I immeasurable blessings in exchange for measurable burdens that weigh us down. Did you hear that? And I got the picture of a hot air balloon. Of course, I went up on my 50th birthday in a hot air balloon. You guys probably know, a lot of you know it, but it's almost that picture of what keeps us down are the weights of life. And when we start throwing the weights off, of course, that's not how they do it in modern-day hot air balloons. He just increases the gas, unties the rope. But as the weights get thrown off, displaced, laid aside, the immeasurable of God lifts us up and carries us. And it's almost like this perfect picture of carries us as the wind directs us. You know that wind is symbolic of what? The Holy Spirit's movement. The Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. What a neat picture. As I lay aside the things of worry, peace will lift me up. As I lay aside the issues and the frets of unforgiveness and hatred and bitterness, love will lift me up. As I lay aside the burdens of just the everyday things of life, and I lay aside those things that want to weigh me down, you know, all the duties of my job, my marriage, my children, my grandchildren, instead joy will lift me up. That's awesome. So listen to this. I almost want you to, I don't know if there's a way, you probably can't put these up there, Michael. It's probably too long, too late, but I want to read these to you that the Lord gave me, and we're going to pray. Questions, five questions, just to simply ask yourself, as I ask myself the same questions. Is the peace of God ruling in my heart and mind and giving me sure footing to stand when life throws its worst at me? Is the peace of God ruling in my heart and mind, giving me sure footing to stand when life throws its worst at me? Is the joy of the Lord my strength, flowing within and through my very soul? Is my faith giving me supernatural clarity? Listen to this. Is my faith in God giving me supernatural clarity for direction when there's so much confusion attempting to trip me up? I need more of that on a regular basis. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the grace of God, this is I think one of the best, is the grace of God through Jesus continually setting me free from the bondage of my sin? Hallelujah. Come on. Amen to that one. I know, because I know it, bondage to sin is real. It's real. It's not a metaphor. It's a real thing. And the grace of God has set me free from the bondage of sin. And it's continuous. Guess what? One of my bondages last week is no longer there because of the grace of God, but guess what? I got probably 500 or 600 more coming up maybe this week or this year. Oh, you guys are all really holy and righteous. You only got a few. Okay, that's all right. It's all right. Lying is a sin too. And the grace has covered it. Woohoo! Has the love of God so much consumed me that there is evidence in every area of my life? Has the love of God been the consuming fire within me, driving me, been the motor, the driving force in my life, to where it impacts and affects every area of my life? The dark corners, the hidden places. Has the love of God caused you to listen so that you love others right where they're at? Amen. Let's pray and worship the Lord. Father God, we're just so grateful and thankful that your immeasurable, invisible, indescribable attributes are for us, being poured out in us, on us, so that they're overflowing through us. And yes, we know and we confess that we are lacking, and that we come to you and we repent. We repent. And we turn our gaze and our face to you, Jesus. That you are not only the finisher of our faith, but you are the author of it. And that by your Spirit, you empower us, you fill us to overflowing with peace and joy and love and grace and mercy and kindness and faithfulness and even gentleness. And let's not forget patience. We thank you, Jesus, that you are good and all good things come from you. Lord, this is a prayer. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you guys to join me in this prayer. Lord, I repent of not being a willing recipient of all of your goodness. I repent of that. I repent of having hang-ups, whether they're theological, whether they're spiritual, whether there are things in my mind that I've set up as what I think are protective barriers to keep the hurt out. I repent and I break down those walls and I ask you in the name of Jesus that you pour into me all of you, that you give me all of you. Yes, so it is to where it is uncontainable, where there'll be joy flowing out of me, peace flowing through me, love consuming me and driving me, and grace being my every thought and every motive of my heart, to where I receive grace and I give grace. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, ahead of time for you doing that in us and through us, that we may be salt and light, that we may bring glory to your name, that you, Jesus, would be seen in us and through us. Hallelujah and glory to your name. Amen and amen. Amen.